going to spend a little time discussing two verses in 1 John chapter 2. These verses are excellent. They would make for a very good passage for you to memorize in order to share as a little gospel nugget, a little bit of scriptures that you wanted to use when you were witnessing to somebody. If you were looking for a straightforward description of what Christianity is about and how a person is saved, you could not do much better than what's said in 1 John chapter 2. So let's take a look at these verses. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We're going to spend a few moments thinking about what it means that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We'll try to pull that phrase apart and gain a clear understanding of its importance and what we're being taught about Jesus. You think that your problem is your car. The car might not be running, functioning properly, and you may have to put more money into it, and so the decision is, do we keep this car or do we trade it? You think that the problem is your job. Perhaps you're not happy with where you're working and maybe they're overlooking you for a promotion. Or maybe you're afraid that you might lose your job and you might have to start searching for a different one. You think that the problem is your kid. Maybe they're not listening to you. Maybe they're not giving you proper respect and you're seeing signs of rebelliousness and you're concerned about your relationship with them. You think that maybe your problem is your health and that the various treatments you've been using haven't been as effective as you think they should be. And do you go and seek a new doctor? Do you try something else? Perhaps the health condition is getting to the point where you have to consider different living arrangements. Well, these are not your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is what we call sin. Your biggest problem is the fact that on a regular daily basis, you habitually offend and defy the true and living God. Your biggest problem is that God is not pleased about this, that he's actually angry over the fact that you're a sinner, that you defy his will and violate his will. Your biggest problem is that God punishes the wrongdoer and that he has wrath in store for violators of his will. Your biggest problem is that the sentence upon disobedience is death and that God condemns violators of his will to hell. That's your biggest problem. And that's why it's very good that we learn from the scriptures that God has done something about this problem. And in fact, that's what's being discussed in 1 John chapter 2. Regarding our biggest problem, the fact that we are sinners, there is a solution. In verse 1, John, notice how he uses the phrase, dear children. That's so kind and compassionate, isn't it? He has a really soft heart for these people that he's writing to. And he says, I write this so that you will not sin. Yes, I would think that that would be a priority for everyone who's here today, right? It's probably one of your life goals that you don't make it habitual that you defy God's will. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be sitting in church this morning, right? If your goal was to run around and to try to live as the world and get away with whatever you could, you probably wouldn't carve out that time on Sunday morning to be worshiping. So it's good. You can relate to John when he says, you know, dear children, I write this so that you will not sin. You're saying, yeah, amen, we're trying not to sin. But if you do find yourself slipping, if you do acknowledge that there's times when you have rebelled against God's will, If you can't say that you've kept his will perfectly, then we need a solution. Then we need that problem addressed. And that's why it says then, if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ. I was focusing on that word this week as I was contemplating the passage. I was thinking about the word defense. And I thought back about defenders, defense. And I remember there was a video game many years ago. When I was a young man, there was a video game called Defender. And it had these waves of aliens that would work their way down in columns. And each time they touched the side of the screen, they would drop one row and they would continue marching down. And they'd come lower and lower. And you had a ship that slid along the bottom and fired up at them. And you had to kill these invaders. You were defending yourself against them. Well, we need a defender. How do you defend yourself against Satan? How do you defend yourself against sin, against death? We are incapable of resolving this major problem called sin. We need someone else to step in and do this for us. And so the scriptures describe Jesus Christ, the righteous one, as our defender. Very similar to a defense attorney. There is a relational thing going here. God the Father has been offended. He has been insulted because of his will. It has not been kept, and he is righteous and holy. He needs to execute punishment. Jesus Christ is our like our defense attorney. Defense eternity. That's a slip. Our defense attorney, and he will stand in the breach for us and plead our cause to the Father. Now, I think about Jesus being described as a righteous one. It's a good thing we're not relying upon any common man. It's a good thing we're thinking about the Holy Son of God here. And that's critical. Because if it were just another person, they'd be in no better shape than we are. They would be under God's wrath against sin, too. So we need someone who's pure, someone who's holy, someone that's able to cleanse us, you know. When I think of that term righteousness, I think of that purity and cleansing. One of the most fun little joke gifts that I've been given over the years, you know, people that know me know that I have a little collection of religious fun theme gifts. And among them, someone found and gave me this little box of soap and towelettes. And I think it's a very cute thing. It's called Wash Away Your Sins Cleansing Bar and Towelettes with the tempting do-it-again scent. It is approved for all seven deadly sins, and it shows a little nun on the cover, on the front. And it's called A Sinner's Necessity. On the top it says, The Better Cleanser for Liars, Cheaters, and Wrongdoers. When you open it up on the inside, it says, remove sins, kills odors. And then you pull out the towelettes. The towelettes, heavenly scented. And they have an antibacterial formula that kills sins on contact. Right your wrongs with a wipe. And then the bar of soap. I love this. Reduces guilt by 98.9% or more. And then you get to the back. Directions for use. Unwrap soap. Engage water supply. Moisten oneself. Lather vigorously. Rinse. Repent. instead of repeat, repent. And it says, for vulgarities, insert in mouth, scrub, spit out, flush with water, may be harmful if swallowed. I mean, if only it were that simple, right? If only we could rush out to the store and pick up our wash your sins away soap and towelettes and we'd be ready. Huh? Whenever something wrong would happen, we'd have an impure thought. Oh, better wash up, better clean up. It doesn't work that way. We need something a little bit more than industrial soap here, right? You see, because sin taints and corrupts our internal nature. So in order to wash away guilt and sin, atonement is necessary. Now, atonement is heavy duty. Atonement means blood will be shed. It means someone will die. When God makes atonement for sin, there is death. The wages of sin is death, say the scriptures. But the free gift of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 18 said, "The soul that sins shall die." Jesus, when he was talking to his contemporaries, said that if you do not believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sin. Christ, the righteous one, had to make atonement. He took that punishment for sin. His blood was shed. He died in our place. That is the gist of the gospel. You cannot remove sins through your own effort. It must take the efforts of that righteous man, Jesus Christ. Now, this is such fantastic news. We're grateful to know this, and we're good to review this once again this morning. But the really great thing is in verse 2, where it says that he's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Absolutely anybody can receive this cleansing from God. No one has been rejected. There has not been some class partisanship. It is not connected to status and income. It is not racially determined. It is purely and simply universal in its coverage. Anyone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. As the scriptures say, all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Now, who would not want this? Wouldn't you think everyone would want this? It's like having a terrible disease and not wanting to go to the doctor. Isn't that inconceivable? It just would not be conceivable that you would think that when someone gets such good news like this that they wouldn't want that. That's why we need to share this, is because people living with the consequences of sin, they're running around thinking their biggest problem in their life is their car. They're running around thinking their biggest problem in their life is their marriage or their children's relationships. They're thinking their biggest problem in their life is their finances. These are not their biggest problems. The biggest problem is sin. But thankfully, God has given us a solution to it, the atonement that comes through Jesus Christ. I would think that you want this. I would think that you are able to recognize that this is your biggest problem, and you're grateful that the Lord God has given you a solution, an atonement through Jesus Christ. With that in mind, you now have security. You now have the comfort of knowing that you're not going to sit under the wrath of God. You're not going to be condemned for your failures. But instead, when you come and plead mercy, God will forgive you because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. No longer are you consumed with worry and fear over your future because of death. You now have the gift and the hope of life everlasting in Jesus. So our biggest problem in life has been dealt with. So maybe then we default in the car, yeah, our health, our relationships. Yeah, maybe that is our biggest problem after all, because sin has been dealt with. Amen.